For WTOP News, this is The Book Report. I'm Tariq King. J. Randy Tarabarelli is a New York Times bestselling author and one of America's most prolific chroniclers of celebrity and political dynasties. J. Randy's written extensively about the Kennedy family, with books like Jackie Ethel Joan, Women of Camelot, and Jackie, Public-Private Secret. But his newest book out now from St. Martin's Press is his most intimate look at the man at the center of it all. The book is called JFK, Public Private Secret. It offers a fresh personal portrait of America's 35th president, beyond the politics, beyond the scandals, into the conscience of a man who was trying to become a better person even amid his flaws. J. Randy, thanks so much for being on The Book Report today.
Happy to be here.
So happy to have you, sir. Okay, so let's jump right in. This is your sixth book on the Kennedy family, but it's your first that's actually squarely focused on JFK himself. And I ask this question of every author, just if you could, in sort of a summary statement. The book is about JFK, but what's at the heart of it? What is this book about? What's the story we're telling?
Well, you know, this book is about a man's journey, an imperfect man who, through trial and error, works toward becoming a better person and works toward becoming a man who takes accountability for his mistakes, not only to his wife, but also to the country. He figures out that in order to be a great leader, he needs to first become a great man. And he does both of those in tandem. And this is that story.
So there are a lot of books written about JFK. It's estimated to be in the tens of thousands, about his presidency, about his assassination, the various theories that sprang forth from that assassination. But this is, like you said, a more personal look at a man. How do you go about accessing these levels of who he was? Talk a little bit about your research process. What did you do and how long did it take you?
Well, the book is really based on 25 years of research. My research for all of my other Kennedy books, which I went back to, taped interviews with people who are long gone. Oral histories gave me a lot of information, courtesy of the JFK Library. Tape recorded oral histories, printed histories, FBI documents, CIA documents. I mean, I really combed the universe for JFK matter and put together, I think, a portrait of a man that was a very troubled person who worked hard on his life and times, made a lot of mistakes along the way. But I think in the end, I think the reader really gets to know him and maybe even love him and admire him.
Is there anything that particularly surprised you while you were working? Because as we've said, you've written several other books about the family and you had this stockpile of research from those efforts. But every book requires new research. I know you spent a lot of time at the JFK Library. What were some surprises that you found, or maybe one thing that surprised you the most that you found out about him once you began to start sort of focusing on this angle?
The biggest surprise for me was an interview I conducted with a woman who was 100 years old at the time. Her name is Janet DeRose, and she was hired at the age of 24 to be Joe Kennedy's secretary, but ended up being his surrogate wife. And she moved into the household and she was responsible for his emotional and physical needs with the collaboration of his wife, Rose Kennedy. This isn't something that Rose tolerated. It's something that she orchestrated in her own way to empower herself and give herself some agency over her life at that time. She wasn't able to divorce Joe because of her religion, and she wasn't in love with him, and she wanted nothing to do with him. And this was her way, his way, their way of going forward. The reason why it's important is because if you're raised in a family where that's going on, then what do you bring to your own marriage? What can we expect JFK to be in his marriage to Jackie if that's his influence of not only what his father did, but what his mother collaborated on? And that's why it's an important story in my book, because it informs who JFK is as a husband to Jackie.
Was she already known of publicly, or is this the first time the public learns this particular lady's story?
Janet DeRose, never told her story. And that's why it was so compelling for me. And I loved talking to her, and she had a great memory. And she admired Joe tremendously and admired Rose and loved JFK. I mean, you know, she was a part of the family. And in the book, there are pictures of her with Joe and Rose, and she looks like their daughter. I mean, she's 24, he's 60-something, you know. It's the most bizarre story, but yet it's understandable if you read the book and you really understand the context of it. It's Joe Kennedy, a man that people viewed as being ice cold, reaching out for connection to somebody because he wasn't getting it with his wife. And he did get it from Janet for 10 years. The only reason she left his employ was because she wanted to marry and have a family of her own. She ended up working for JFK, and she ended up being his secretary in the White House. And they were on a plane together at one point, sitting side by side, and he wrote something on a piece of paper and he slid it over to her and it said, "Don't you think you should be attracted to me by now?" And she wrote something on a paper and slid it back to him and it said, "No." She wasn't going down that road with the son after she'd been there with the father.
You know, I think in the opening of the book, you made it pretty clear that you're not looking to create a tell-all scandal sheet. You were clear that this book wasn't going to be a comprehensive A to Z list of all the affairs he's had, but rather a look at the relationships that matter, that imprinted on him. So which of these relationships do you write about that impacted, you think, JFK the most personally, and why?
I think that his relationship with Joan Lundberg, also never written about before this book, was important to him. He met her when he and Jackie were having terrible trouble in their marriage. The family had ostracized him as well because of something he did that was pretty terrible. You can read about it in the book. And he was really persona non grata in both the Kennedy and Auchincloss families, Jackie's family as well as his own. And he went to Los Angeles and met this woman who lived in a trailer park. Her name was Joan. They hit it off, and she became sort of like a therapist to him because she was living in L.A., and she didn't know anybody he knew. She was a total outsider, and he felt like he could talk to her and understand that she was not going to be telling anybody else his story because she didn't know anybody he knew. And they were together for 3 years. And ironically enough, she helped make him a better husband to Jackie. In the end, of course, he left her and fell in love with his wife, much to Joan's dismay. But she knew what she was getting into with him. And it's a great story. I mean, she's a great character in history that's never been written about before. It was because of her that JFK ended up having a better marriage with his wife.
Yes, which brings me to this whole question of conscience, because despite his behavior, I think it came through in the reading for me that he had a conscience, and there didn't seem to be much tension between his conscience and his behavior, which could sometimes read as unconscionable. I actually think he had a conscience and that conscience made things harder for him. But talk a little bit about that. How did that internal conflict manifest in his personal life and in his presidency even?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of people didn't really catch that in this book. And it's really true that when you have a conscience, your behavior, if it's unconscionable, really hits you hard because you have a conscience. If you have no conscience at all, you don't care how you treat people. And that's kind of easier in a sense. You know, it makes you a terrible person, but it's easier to live with because you're not tormented by your behavior as he was. At one point, Joan said to him, "I think you're a really good man." And JFK said, "No, I'm really not. I'm really not." He said he felt like he was stuck in himself and that he was trying to figure out how to get out of himself to be a better person. But he didn't have the tools available to him to do that. And so he was really on his own. And the journey is really complicated. And there are a lot of starts and stops to it. But eventually, he becomes a man who takes accountability for his behavior toward his wife. And in 1963, he tells his sister-in-law, Joan Kennedy, that my behavior toward Jackie is painful. And by painful, I mean shameful. So he was really growing into becoming a man who was taking accountability for his actions.
Why do you believe that it's important in 2025 for people to understand this dimension of the character of a man who was a historically significant president, but he's long gone? What do you believe that people can take away from this particular angle on JFK?
On a personal level, what I hope the takeaway is that forgiveness and accountability matter, and that you can't have one without the other, and that if you want to be a better person, you have to be accountable for people that you've hurt. And if you want a better relationship with a person like that, you have to forgive, and you can't have one without the other. On a political level, I believe that we want our leaders to be accountable. And JFK was accountable to the country, for instance, after the Bay of Pigs disaster in 1961, within his first 100 days of being in office. There was a Cuban invasion that he inherited from Eisenhower that went very badly. Thousands of people were killed. And rather than blame it on the other guy, blame it on Eisenhower, he went before the American public and said, "I'm the president, I take responsibility." And his approval rating shot up to 85%. Because I think that's what people want in their leaders. We want accountability. We don't want our leaders placing blame on everybody else. We want them to know that the buck stops here. And I really wanted to write about that kind of man, because I think that that's a hopeful story to tell in these really super fractured times. To tell a story like that with that kind of hope, I think is needed right now.
I'd like to drill down into the title of the book, the full title. The book is kind of a companion to the previous book about Jackie, and they're both subtitled Public, Private, Secret. Talk a little bit about what that title means and why you chose to give that title to these books.
Well, when Jackie Kennedy Onassis turned 60 years old, she had a conversation with a man that she had been engaged to prior to Onassis. And his name was Jack Warnicke. And he was an architect who designed JFK's memorial at Arlington. And Jack Warnicke told me that he asked Jackie, "What were you thinking with Onassis? He and I are so different. Why did you leave me for Aristotle Onassis?" And Jackie's response to that was, "Oh, Jack, you know me. I have three lives, public, private, and secret." And I always thought that was a great title for a book, especially a book about Jackie. And since this book is the companion book to that book, we gave it the same title because it really does achieve the same goal. It gives you the public life, which is, of course, the presidency and what happened in the public arena. It gives you the private life, which is, you know, what his friends knew and what he told his friends privately. And then the secret life, Janet DeRose, the surrogate wife, Joan Lundberg, the important affair, and the things that happened that people never knew about that were secret until now. And, you know, with my job as a biographer being to invade my subject's privacy, I mean, that's kind of my job. And Jackie told me face to face one time, "What's the point of a biography if it doesn't tell a person's secrets?" And she was able to take her icon hat off and put on her editor hat at Doubleday and realize that if you want to do a good book, you have to be revealing and honest. And I try to do that along with being empathetic. And I always say, just because something is true doesn't mean it's going to end up in one of my books. The bar is higher than that. It has to tell a story that's bigger, that means something, and it has to be told with empathy. Man, I have a lot of stories that will never be in any of my books because they don't reach that bar.
You've written about so many icons. Diana Ross was how a lot of us first learned your name. Frank Sinatra, Elizabeth Taylor, and of course, Michael Jackson. And these, of course, were all living famous figures in American culture. But JFK stands apart in American memory. So why do you think that you've decided in recent years to really settle into this lane of in-depth reporting about this man and this family?
As I continue to write about them and continue to know about them, I feel a real affinity and I want to know more. The people who populate my books are characters that the Americans never knew before. Jackie Onassis' mom, Janet Auchincloss, is somebody people never heard of before my books. And her brother, Jamie, her sister, Janet Jr., her stepfather, Hugh Auchincloss, these are people who are very important in her life that the public never heard of before because the Kennedys loom so large in history that no one ever even thought about Jackie's mom. And so I feel like the public has really gotten to know these people and they want the story to continue. And it is going to continue with my next book. I can't tell you what it is, but the saga definitely continues with the next book. I think that they're really important characters in our history who have never been written about prior to my books. And I'm really proud to be able to bring them to the forefront of our culture.
If you've got someone, I always ask this question, if you've got someone in a bookstore and they are perusing the shelf, they see the book JFK, Public, Private, Secret, and they're debating in their mind what kind of reading experience they'll have if they actually pick up this book, what would you tell that person?
I would tell them to start it and stick with it and get to the reward because it's not an easy book. You can get frustrated with a character like this. And I did many times in writing it. I was like, "Oh my gosh, Jack, what are you doing?" And if I was frustrated, you can imagine the people in his life, right? I'm just writing about it. They had to live it. But if you stick with it, you will get a lot out of it. I mean, I put a lot into this book and I got a lot out of it. It's a tragic ending, but you do see the full picture of a man as he grows into himself. And maybe that might help some people do the same thing.
It's called JFK, Public, Private, Secret. J. Randy Tarabarelli, the author. Thanks so much for being on the Book Report today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great. It's great to be here. Thank you.
And I thank everyone for listening to this edition of the Book Report. For WTOP News, I'm Tariq King.